Hello and welcome to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. I'm CJ Liu and I'm here with another host from the Transformation Talk Radio Network, Sue London. I'm so excited. I've heard so many wonderful things about your show, which it comes on right after mine, right? From Thursday?
I think it does. I'm from 6:03 Eastern Time.
That's very specific.
I know. Aren't I good? I've been writing it so much today in all my social media stuff.
At 6:03, exactly. Yeah. You must tune in.
Well, it's funny, you know, like people will say, oh, 6 o'clock. Well, where are you? So it's kind of like now I'm well trained. I'll say 6:03 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Well, Sue London is a radio host, like I said, and she's also a fellow coach and an author and a very multi-talented person, a superstar in my mind, because she has done so many wonderful things with her life. And we're here to talk to her about her wonderful and inspiring story of renewal and recovery and how she moved from being a stay-at-home mom to a superstar. So, and you know what? I have to say, I should condition them by saying, a stay-at-home mom is a superstar, so I should say a different kind of superstar. How about that?
Yeah, you know, it really is. I really give credit to anyone who's a stay-at-home mom because there's a lot of work to that. Really, mm-hmm. There really is. And it is a job. So anyone who's listening that is a stay-at-home mom, give yourself a pat on the back. You sure deserve it.
Exactly. Yeah. So tell us about your move back.
Okay. Well, really, I would say my journey really began in my life in 1989. But to backtrack a bit, when I was pregnant with my first daughter in 1988, I was having some health problems, but I didn't think very much about it. I thought it was just that's what pregnancy was. Mm-hmm. And then 9 months after my first daughter was born, I started really having some unusual things happening, some symptoms. And I went to my doctor. I'd lost 60 pounds in like 2 months. And I'm thinking, this is awesome. You know, I'm losing the baby fat. But she was really concerned and had me go through tests, which we found out that I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease and went through a lot of challenges physically and emotionally around that. And all this time, you know, here I am as a stay-home mom with a baby, and I'd bring her into the bathroom and have the dog look after her while I'd be in there for 3 hours, both ends going, you know, it's pretty bad.
Oh, no.
So, you know, I found I was getting into remission there, and then in 1992, I decided I wanted another baby, and I got pregnant. Doctor said it was okay. Got pregnant. It was almost like the snap of a finger. As soon as I got pregnant, the disease flared up again.
Wow.
And my weight, because it's hormonal change affects the disease, so that's what was happening. So what happened, the disease flared up, and my weight went down to just 80 pounds. And I'm 5'5", so that was a lot, right? So I was in the hospital for about 4 months, and finally one day the doctor came in and said, look, you know what, you can't take much more, that we've got to make a choice here. Either you live or the baby, you got to pick who. So I made a different choice. I made the choice of firing my doctor, and I got a new one. And so the new doctor was an animal lover, and he prescribed for my family to bring my dog down to the hospital. And so Rocky came down to the hospital, cute little Shih Tzu, and 2 days later, I went home after him working his magic with me to going on and delivering a beautiful, healthy baby girl who happens to be turning 19 years old just this month. So I'm going to be like so dehydrated from crying of tears of joy this month, I'm telling you.
Oh,
so went through all of that. And all of the time during my pregnancy and my marriage, I was being emotionally abused by my husband. I actually had married my father. You know, they say us girls do that. Well, I had done that. And so there's a lot of stress. I wasn't telling people I was going through this. So, again, Crohn's disease is stress-related. So I was hiding the fact that I was going through this. So then in 1996, I was having health challenges again. It was getting the best of me. And I was letting it getting the best of me. And so I went to the doctor again, and they said that I had a torn muscle. And I thought, okay, this is different symptoms, so, you know, I could work with that. But as the hours were passing, it was getting increasingly worse to the point I couldn't move and I couldn't breathe. So I was rushed back into the hospital, sitting in a merge, waiting to see a doctor. And in the waiting room, my intestine burst. And they rushed me in. They said I had 30 minutes to live. And who did I want to say goodbye to? And before I could say anything else, I had a near-death experience. And I went to that white light. And I will honestly tell you, CJ, that I was at a point where I wanted to go. Because I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. Mm-hmm. I thought, what kind of a mom am I? I'm like in and out of hospitals. I wasn't being able to be that stay-at-home mom that's what I, you know, looked forward to doing all my life. So I had the near-death experience and I was in the white light and it wasn't my time because my grandfather stopped me. And he said to me, Susie, you have millions of people and animals you need to go back and help. And when I heard that, I thought, are you kidding me? You know, and if anyone else had been there, I wouldn't have believed it. But because it was my grandfather, he was one who was my hero, my best friend, my mentor. So I trusted him and I knew what he was telling me was true. Didn't understand how it would happen, but I trusted him. So I came back. And when I came back, I was in the hospital for another few months, and I was still wondering why my husband wasn't coming to see me. 5 months in the hospital, not seeing your husband. I went home, and I discovered he had moved his girlfriend in our house. And they were
in your house?
In our house. And so when he learned I was coming home, she moved out. And I found this out from my kids, actually. And so... You know, and then it later came out that he'd had a girlfriend for 14 years of our 16-year marriage. So his last words were to me that he was going to spend the rest of his life ruining mine because he said he felt his life was ruined because of me having the disease. So I thought that was enough, and that really empowered me, and I kicked him out, and I went through a divorce, and that is when life really began for me. The disease completely went away. It is completely healed, stress-free, and while I was working on myself and, you know, learning who I was, starting to love myself, becoming empowered, well, I was going to Toastmasters. It's an international speaking club. And while I was there, I met Mr. Wright, my soulmate, and we've been together for 11 years now. And I'm not introduced as his wife, but I'm introduced as his adventure because he never knows what we're going to do next. So that's kind of the short version of my past that led me to where I am today.
Okay, now I wanted to focus on, and there's so many areas that I could dive into, and you know I want to, but I'm going to focus. I'm going to focus on the going back to work because you had said that when I talked to you about this earlier that you had talked to someone at a school that your kids went to, and she said you need to be a nursery school teacher. Is that so? That got back into the workforce, and I mean, was it hard getting back into the workforce? Because, I mean, you went through a devastating health issue.
I was never in the workforce because what happened for me, I decided that, you know, and I was raised, if you have kids, you stay home and you raise them. That's what my parents said to me. Like, that's how I was raised. My mother stayed home and that was my role. I had to do that too. But then when I went through divorce, I knew I had to start working and it freaked me out. Like, you wouldn't believe, honestly, like I would have sleepless nights thinking, I've never worked. Yeah, as a kid, I worked at McDonald's and, you know, doing that kind of work, but never having a job that I can bring an income in. So, but what happened, I was volunteering when I had the healthy days, you know, when I was a stay-at-home mom, I would volunteer at my kids' schools. And so when the principal learned about what was happening in our home, he came up to me one day when I was teaching kids reading, and he said, you know, you've been here for 14 years. That's equivalent to an ECE. So he made this letter out in this form, and then long story short, I ended up teaching nursery school. But you want to hear something funny? I was so scared of being in the center of attention that even though I was a nursery school teacher, I was scared of being in the center of attention and reading to 2.5-year-olds. So I'd get my assistant to read, and I would go and clean up after their little snack time. So that's how far I've come. So, but that's how it all unfolded because I was doing something that I had the experience, and it turned into, you know, doing that. Now I go into schools as a motivational speaker, inspiring the kids, and, you know, I can stand in front of that mic and talk for hours.
So it sounds like that part, let's go back, because I think people can really relate to that kind of freak out period where you're like, what am I going to do? Yeah. I have no tangible skills that I can think of. I feel like I've taken like 5 years and in some cases like 15 years of my life out of the workforce, and I really don't know what to do, and I'm really afraid and my skills aren't relevant anymore. I'm too old. Who's going to want me? All my skills are outdated. Yeah. I mean, did you have any of those fears, and how did you overcome them?
I think my greatest fears was, and again, going back to being abused, I had huge worthy issues, and I thought I wasn't good enough for anything, any role. You know, I wasn't good enough to read to 2.5-year-old children. Mm-hmm. I had the huge fear of the unknown, so that was really holding me back. You know, I was fearful of meeting people because I didn't want to not meet their expectations. I wanted to be the person they thought. I was a real people pleaser. So all of this was against me, right? And then on top of this, I still had this mindset, I'm supposed to be a stay-home mom. So I was struggling with, okay, I'm working this job. I'm not there for my kids. Well, you know, and I was that struggle back and forth. So I really had to look at, okay, what were my priorities? I set my boundaries. And then I knew, you know, teaching nursery school, yeah, there was a couple school trips I couldn't go on. But then I kept it in my mind, maybe I wasn't supposed to be there. Maybe there was someone else who needed to be there. Maybe my children would learn from them, you know. And so then I knew also that, you know, by changing, having a positive attitude, I was going to be a good example for my kids, that they weren't going to grow up and be negative, that, you know, helping me being positive would help them be positive. And then one thing that, you know, really helped me was I started doing new things that I'd never done before. And, you know, before I went back to work, I thought, here's this computer. It's a box and this TV screen. And my kids were having a hoot because I didn't know it was called a monitor and a hard drive and all this, right? And so, I mean, I just thought it was like this passing fad. And so I discovered that in our local town, they had this program where you could go, and it was like a continuing education program for adults. So I went there, and it was like you could go on your own time. There was teachers there if you needed their help, and it was like a self-learning course. So I took and I learned how you turn the computer on. I learned how to do all that stuff. And my kids were like, Mom, this is pretty cool. And so then my girls and I, we started sitting down and deciding, okay, well, as a team, let's try some new things together. And what can we learn and grow as a family unit? And so this is what we did. And to this day, we still will pick new things to try and to learn so that we can continuously grow. And that's helped my children. And I'm a grandma now, and that's helped my grandson to see he can put his mind to it and achieve anything he sets his mind to it. So,
okay, so here's what I'm hearing you say, that part of how you got yourself, you know, there's a series of negative thoughts. I'm not good enough.
Yep.
There's a lot of unknown. I may not meet expectations. This may be actually not helpful for my kids. And then there's a period where you said, I need to shift into more positive attitudes.
Yeah,
and then help me understand the linkage between that and saying, well, I'm going to try new things now.
Well, I knew that, like, you know, our children mirror us, right? And so I was hearing my kids say, I can't do that. And I would say, don't tell me you can't do it. You can do anything you set your mind to it. That they look at me like, yeah, right, Mom, like you're doing it. And I thought, okay, this is not good. I have to be their example. And I'm going to push myself because I want to be that good example. And I want them to grow up to be, you know, great adults. And I would take my youngest daughter, she loved coming to Toastmasters with me, and she would sit and she'd count everyone saying I'm an awe. And even to this day, she'll say, oh, Mom, you said so, or but, those are words you're not supposed to say, or, you know, you shouldn't have said that or whatever, you know. So
I love the Canadian version of Toastmaster, it's A.
Yeah. You know, I don't know what it is, but all you Americans love my Canadian A.
I want to hear that more.
And I'm sure Chris, our producer, we both have Chris as our producer at WBLQ. He like lives for me saying A. So.
Anyway, so then you tried new things. So it was really out of the love for your children and wanting to provide a really positive role model and saying, yes. No, I tell you can do it, and therefore I have to believe I can do it, and therefore I am going to do it.
Yeah, and that as well as holding on to that, you know, my grandfather said in the tunnel, you know, you have millions of people you need to help. I didn't know how it was, but I thought, you know, I trusted him, so I hung on to that as well. So I had my kids kind of being my my kick in the butt kind of thing. Like they were helping me to grow because I wanted to be their good example. And because my grandfather was always right. And I knew there's something really powerful about that that would get me through.
Mm. So given that we all don't want to have near-death experiences.
No, I don't want to see that.
What's another way you think that we can get at that kind of, because that there could not be anything more clear and heartfelt than your grandfather saying to you, no, Susie, you have to go and heal millions of people and animals, and you need to be there to help. I mean, not all of us have, and then it's kind of a weird way of thinking about it, but not all of us have that gift. It's a huge gift, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I'm grateful. And I cannot tell you how many times somebody will share a story with me. Like last night on the show last night, Chris, our producer, he was sharing that somebody had bought one of my books, My Life Story, Soar Above It All. And they actually had a life changing experience as a result of getting my book. I was just so touched by how everything unfolded for me and I was crying and getting very emotional. Mm. And it's very touching when you know that what you've gone through, you can help someone else.
Yeah. So if you were to like talk to the younger version of you or other working moms out there, I have a good friend who actually used to be a producer of a major television show and then ran an internet website. Okay. So this is like a heavy hitter person. Yeah. And she said, I don't know if I can go back to work. What are they going to want me for? I'm like, are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, it's been 15 years since she's, you know, maybe, no, actually probably 10 years. So what, I mean, if you were to talk to her or yourself when you're at that, you know, kind of low point when you had no self-worth and, you know, was a people pleaser, what three pieces of advice would you give yourself?
Well, I would say, first of all, that you have to believe that everything happens in your life for a reason. And I find what happens for me is like I'm put in this position to be somewhere to help somebody. And everyone, you know, a lot of people listening, I bet you're thinking, well, how can I help somebody? But, you know, you might be there just to share an experience. You might be there just to, you know, give somebody a hug. You don't know your reason, but there is really a purpose for us all being here. And, you know, when you go within and if you, this is a job you have to take, there's a reason for you being there. One of the things that happened for me, and this is kind of an example, so you know, for your friend, what happened for me, I was freaked out when my daughter said, Mom, you should get this job. And so she found this job for me to be a kind of like a personal trainer coach at this fitness facility. And I thought, oh yeah, this is really funny. I hate working out. But I thought, okay, again, I'm going to be the good example. So I went and I discovered a gift I had I didn't know I had. It's kind of funny. But what happened, I was helping women to you know, use these machines and get fit. But what was happening, my true self was coaching them and helping to empower them and inspire them. And what happened, I was there for about a month, and I went in this one particular morning, and the owner was there. And she said to me, okay, get your coat. You're fired. And I thought, are you kidding me? I'm fired? I've not done it. What have I done? I was horrified. And she said to me, I need to fire you because all the other staff are really upset that nobody comes to work out on their shifts. So I said, why am I being fired? And she says, because you're being too inspirational. And I thought, I'm being fired.
You're kidding me.
Too inspirational. Yeah. I came home, I cried, and my whole family's laughing. And they're like, and you're upset over that? But I had to see that I inspired people. And you know what I mean? So your friend going back to work, you know, maybe you're going somewhere and you're going to have an aha moment like I did. And you never know. So everything happens for a reason. I found for me the hardest thing was how could I be doing two things at once, working a job and being there as mom. And my grandpa used to say to me, Susie, get a system. And he used to say this to me as a little girl. I thought, you're a crazy old man. You know, I had really a lot of respect for him, and he was my best friend. But I'd say that, you're crazy, right? And so what I learned from him was it's really important to be organized. And when you're organized, you won't have that chaos between running from a family to work. And so a couple of the things that I want to suggest to y'all listening is that, you know, if you work all week, then take weekend one day. And we still do this in our family. We'll take as a family and we'll prepare meals for the week and stick them in the freezer. Or we'll put them, you know, meals that they can go in the slow cooker so that they're cooking while we're working. So you don't have that stress. because it was important for me for our family to eat healthy. Mm-hmm. And then you don't have to do it alone. So one of the things I hear women say a lot is, well, I have so many chores to do. I'm overworked and I'm exhausted. It's a really great lesson when you can teach your kids to be part of the program, like, you know, do put the laundry in, do the dishes, help with meals. Once a week, one of our kids will make a meal. We've even had our kids do grocery shopping for us. That taught them how to grocery shop and how to make the list and that, and be budgeting with money. So there's that. And then, you know, we put a calendar on the wall. And so, again, I wanted to be there for my kids, so that way I wasn't scrambling, chasing everybody. How do I fit all this in? So here's the calendar. You got to put your details on there. So that helped me to know this is where I had to be then, helped me to be more organized. Mm. And then finally, the one thing that is really, really important that I want to say to everyone listening, you got to put yourself first. Mm-hmm. And when I say that is, you know that old saying when, you know, you're on an airplane, the plane's going down, you got to put the oxygen on yourself first before you put it on someone else, right? Mm-hmm. So if you don't take care of yourself, how can you take care of others? Mm-hmm. So if you need to go to bed early and you don't get someone's lunch made, there's nothing wrong with, you know, your children. They've got to be a certain age, obviously, like, you know, not 3 years old or whatever, but they can make their lunch. It's okay for them to help you out. Go enjoy a bubble bath. Put on a meditative CD, relaxing music. It's okay to do that. Put yourself first. And know everything does happen for a reason.
Mm. Okay, so here's what I'm hearing. The three bits of advice are huge pieces of advice. One is that, going back to what you just said, everything does happen for a reason. So, and I think that's kind of the follow your nose principle. So use your heart to guide you. Go, and if you feel like, I don't know, I feel like I'm pulled towards doing that and it doesn't make sense, just do it anyways, right? Just like, I don't know, this whole personal trainer thing seemed crazy, but I'm going to do it anyways, because in that following your nose, there's a personal discovery for you. And if you don't ever follow your nose or follow your gut or whatever, your heart, whatever you want to follow, you won't find that reason for why that thing that's happening was supposed to be, because you're just sitting there fretting and thinking about it, but moving and kind of following it. And then I'm hearing your grandpa's advice of, you know, get a system, get organized, figure out a way to make work and family work. It is possible, and make sure that you enroll your family or others to help, because they are out there. And when you go back to work, remember that you have to make sure that you put yourself first.
Exactly. Absolutely.
So those are the three wonderful pieces of wisdom. I have a couple of my own that if I were to talk to this friend, I would offer, and I'd love for you to chime in, but we only have 3 minutes, so I'm going to try to say them. I'll get to as many as I can. Okay. But here's what I would say to the working moms out there, or stay-at-home moms. I think that there are a lot of transferable skills, which means skills that you have as a mother. If you can lead a three-year-old to sit down in a car seat and strap them in, you could lead anyone or manage anyone.
It's true. Oh, yeah.
And that's what I mean as a transferable skill. Yeah. Being a mom, there's a huge amount of project management and coordination and leadership and inspiration that goes into that. And don't discount that. There's a ton of transferable skills. And I think it's a matter of maybe sitting down with a friend of yours who is still at the workforce, or a coach, or whomever, and try to identify the transferable skills that you have, and to not discount yourself. Because I think the thing that you're feeling, that I'm not good enough, is often what a lot of people think. And they discount, you know, the fact that they've raised, you know, $500,000 for the school during the auction, you know, or coordinated a bunch of moms to make paper flowers. How hard is that? Really hard.
Yeah. I've done it.
Me too. So I have one more piece of advice, and then I guess, I can't talk to Sue London anymore. Okay, so I have one more piece. So one is, I think that there's a lot of different ways. I think the getting rid of your disempowering dialogue, the I can't, I shouldn't, I won't, I can't, I'm not good enough, those are really, it's baggage, and you feel like, okay, like, all right. But seriously, those are that kind of negative language follows you like a dark cloud into the interview. And yes. if you don't get rid of those things, they're really, they're beyond disempowering. They won't help you in getting a job. So no. to the extent that you can turn it around, I think it makes a huge difference. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. And let me say, can I add to that? That folks, if I can be where I am today, and I'm not saying everyone's supposed to be a radio host or stand on a stage and speak, but you know, if I can do it, get out there and get into a career, whatever the choice is, anybody can do it. If I can learn that a computer is not called a TV screen, anybody can do anything. So believe in yourself. Give yourself credit. You all deserve it.
Oh, you're so fantastic. Okay, now I understand why Dr. Pat is always saying how wonderful you are. It was so fantastic talking to you.
Good. And well, can I just add? Oh, go ahead.
We have to wrap it up in 15 seconds, so you can't add anything, sweetheart. Okay.
Well, just tell them my website, because we got some tools there for them.
Yes. Tell them your website. Tell them your website.
AskSueLondon.com. Sign up for the newsletter, and you get lots of videos to help you with the process.
Okay, cool. And you can go to my website, or just go to the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Listen to both of our shows. I'm on from 1 to 2 Pacific Standard Time. Sue's on from 2 to 3, or she would say 2:03 Pacific Standard Time.
Have
a great weekend, guys. Make sure, and you have a Facebook page too, right? I have a Fired Up with CJ Facebook page. You have a Facebook page too?
Ask Sue London.
We all need friends, so come on and friend us on Facebook. Thank you, everyone. We had a wonderful, great time and weekend, everyone. And I had so much fun, Sue. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
They say I'm crazy, the way you got me open, baby. Ooh. They say I'm bugging, the way I'm time sweating your loving.
Is living with chronic pain depleting the joy in your life? The Wellness Pro 2010 is a breakthrough pain management device that stimulates your body's own ability to reduce pain or eliminate it. The Wellness Pro is the only bioelectrotherapy device of its kind on the market and is FDA cleared. No more pain medications, needles, and nauseating side effects. Easy to use, non-toxic, safe, and very effective. Stop your pain today. Talk to your doctor to see if the Wellness Pro is right for you. For more information, go to wellnesspro2010.com.
But how can we find joy and bliss in sorrowful times, in times of distress, in the midst of tragedy? Is this at all possible? Yes, by realizing that there is a bigger picture, that our view is not complete, that there is an eye that quietly watches, and a heart that always cares.
To purchase your copy of Fire of Love, go to buyfireoflove.com. That's buyfireoflove.com.
The root cause of disease is not what you think. Doctors are treating the symptoms, not the root cause, because they haven't been trained to do so. Dr. Alex Lloyd has developed a simple technique that has saved thousands of people from lives of frustrating and debilitating illnesses. This technique has been featured on national broadcast and cable television in People, Time, and USA Today. If you are ready to heal and tired of being treated, visit DrAlexHealingCodes.com, where you will find free life-changing information.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.